But there is a baseball team playing, flying under the radar, playing okay. Last night, a little stumble. But for some information on the Fightin' Phils, we turn to the man who knows baseball better than anybody else in America, Jason Starkey. He's brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks, nature's refreshment with over 40 flavors to get you through extra innings every day. Jason Stark from The Athletic and the Major League Baseball Network and about three other projects he's got going on right now. How you doing, Jason?
Mike, I'm good. How are you, man?
Good. All right, now the Phillies have settled down as a topic. We're no longer frantic about the manager, and he seems to be managing a little more conventionally, making fewer moves. Now, what is this? Is this growth, or is this he's listening to the older school baseball dudes that are in his camp?
Well, you know, Mike, I wrote a big piece on him for The Athletic that I believe posted on Tuesday, and he was really fascinating when I asked him about getting booed. You know, I don't know. You tell me. I can't remember anybody in any sport who ever got booed in our town and didn't respond by thinking, screw those people. Right? Yeah. That was not his reaction. His reaction was, you know, I'm interested in all kinds of information. It appears these people are giving me some information that I might want to process.
Yeah.
And he's done some things different. That's a, answer that question. You remember anybody saying that?
No, but I don't know. I'm not sure I'm comfortable with it either. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather that conventional information be coming from his coaching staff rather than like the kid with the new toys approach. So, but you know, if it's working, it's fine because they're starting to win and starting to play pretty well. And one of the things I think that's helped them, and I didn't expect this, their starting pitching ERA is a lot better than I thought it would be. And I know it's been consistent, but you know, the other guys have pitched okay.
Yeah, it's been a big development. It really has. Now, I mean, the thing that's hard to evaluate is they spent a week and a half playing probably the three worst teams in baseball and the three most offensively challenged, the Marlins, the Reds, and the Rays. So that's in there somewhere. But the progress that Nick Pivetta and Vince Velasquez have made, I think is significant. You know, I'm talking to scouts who've been watching this team closely. They see a totally different approach. Both those guys have big arms, big stuff, and it always felt like they were nibbling, pitching around contact, afraid of contact, and we're not seeing that. Nick Pivetta is 21 strikeouts, 2 walks, and Vince is 3 straight starts of 6 innings or more, 3 runs or fewer, and like we haven't seen this guy since he's been here, and both of them have responded to the messages they've been getting and the information they've been shown, which tells them you can get outs by pitching in the strike zone. Try that, and it's had a big effect.
Yeah, well, that's good news, and because I have not been a fan of either guy, and I know they have big stuff, and they just, to me, didn't seem like they knew how to pitch very well. And Pivetta, I thought, was always high in the strike zone. But listen, if those guys have finally taken this time to arrive, I'm good with it, because that's exactly what they need. Now, let's look at one of the things that bugs me consistently, and it's the center fielder, who at times can light you up, and at times you say, this guy's a rockhead, and I don't get it. That he, you know, he's been playing Major League Baseball for a couple years now, and the same mistakes surface over and over again, and he says he's sorry, or he says lo siento, as the case may be. So, like, tell me about what they feel about Herrera right now.
You know, they keep trying to remind themselves he's a good player, and you're not going to find guys who hit the way he hits and run down balls in the outfield the way he does, just kind of riding the Broad Street subway. So they remind themselves of that. But is he frustrating? It's not just you that he frustrates. He frustrates everybody. You know, it's hard to remember all the good stuff he does when you see him have games like he had the other night, where it just feels like his mind is somewhere else. And so many people have talked to to him over so many years about all of this, and it's gone on for so long, you just have to wonder if this is what he is. And if this is what he is, you can't build your team around a guy like this, no matter how talented he is. I mean, to be a great player, you have to play with focus and energy every night. And that's the one thing he doesn't do.
He's just not an instinctual player. So this leads me to my next question. And I don't know if this thought goes through anybody's mind. But, you know, Kingery obviously is a player. And I would like to see him as a regular second baseman. But if they don't believe in Herrera, is it possible that their long-term approach might be, hold on, Hernandez is pretty solid, and Kingery is your center fielder? Or an outfielder of some sort. I mean, with Kingery and Reese Hoskins there, it's not really palatable, but you know what I'm saying? I would that cross their mind?
Okay, I don't think that's the blueprint.
Okay.
First off, the one premise that this is built on is if they don't think Odubel, how'd you put it, is a good player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
they don't think that. He's a frustrating player, but in a lot of ways, he's been their best player now for 2+ years. And they're not looking to put Scott Kingery in center field long term because they have other guys who could do that. Aaron Altair is an excellent center fielder.
Yeah.
Roman Quinn could play center field. There are better alternatives in center than Scott Kingery. But I do think that they face some questions at some point in the really near future about who's going to be here and who's not going to be here. Cesar Hernandez is clearly one of their best players. Does that change the game plan on trading him? I think it might.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Right. And so where are you going to put Kingery? Are you going to play him in third? What happens if you sign Manny Machado? What happens with J.P. Crawford? Right, they're looking to add a big bat next year who will impact this decision again. We've talked about this. The way they constructed their roster this year, there are too many outfielders. There are too many infielders. And, even if you look in the minor leagues, there's too many outfielders.
Yeah.
I just don't know where all these pieces fit. And so Odubel, if he wants to be here, it has got to eliminate this stuff. I think that's your point, basically, right?
Yeah, and I don't think he's ever gone to eliminate it. I just think he's one of those goofs. You know, I've seen it before with certain players who just don't get it. And they're going to exasperate you for your whole career. I just don't see his instincts at all. So I don't know what they're going to do there. But the last question I want to ask you about Franco, who, you know, Gabe Kapler swore that he had corrected all these flaws where he's bailing. But he's rolling over on sliders on the outside part of the plate consistently, not hitting for average. I mean, what are they thinking of him right now?
Well, I mean, I think big picture, they would tell you they think he has made progress. But you and I talked about him so many times. He has a hard time, even after he makes the adjustments, of sustaining those adjustments. And as soon as he starts to go bad, he slips back into all those old habits. So he had that stretch where he actually got his average over 300. He got his OPS over 1,000. He was leading the league in RBIs. And now you look up and he's 4 for his last 27. And
it's the same habits, the same bad habits.
Well, he's got time. It's the third, season's 3 weeks old. He's got time to show them that he can make those adjustments, keep making them, and be the player that they keep trying to convince themselves that he is. Again, based on exit velocity, plate discipline, the fact that he's chasing fewer balls outside the strike zone than he's ever chased in his career, he's making some headway. But at some point, this can't be just some abstract concept on a spreadsheet. You got to do it on the field. And it's been a long time now where we've been waiting for him to do it over any prolonged period.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I would hate to see it end up like Kingery's the third baseman because he's such a natural second baseman. And I don't know what's going to happen. But Machado coming here next year, I'd forget all about Franco. You know, I can be honest with you.
Well, he's going to want to. Here's the thing. Manny's going to want to play short.
Really?
He's doing Baltimore now. He moved to short, even though it meant Tim Beckham, who really can't play third, is playing third, and I'm sure that's how he's going to market himself. Mm. So are you going to then play J.P. Crawford at third? Mm. One of these pieces does not fit in.
No, I'm thinking Machado. They'll eliminate J.P. or Franco, I think, but we'll see what happens. Jason, always a pleasure. We will talk to you next week.
Mike, sounds good, man.
All right, here he is, Jason Stark from the Athletic and Major League Baseball Network. Brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drink, nature's refreshment with over 40 flavors to get you through extra innings every day.